Jacksonville, I think it is, and Brother Boyd's on vacation, so they're the ones that are not with us today. So today we're going to continue our little thought on prayer. I told you we were just going to pick one word. Brother Aaron did a wonderful job. It was a miracle. He spoke less than 15 minutes. So that's okay. He's learning. So let's get in. We're going to pick one word, and that's what we're going to continue on. And we looked at prayer. And now prayer, remember, is an invocation or an act that seeks to activate a rapport with an object of worship through deliberate communication. In a narrow sense, the term refers to an act of supplication or intercession directed toward a deity or a deified ancestor. Well, we're not doing that. Okay, that's just a definition. But we are, our prayer, remember we were talking about in the garden before the fall, before sin happened, there was no prayer. There was no such need for prayer. God spoke to Adam, lip to ear. Personally, God even spoke to Cain. They didn't have to pray to a God. There was no intercessor there. There was nothing that they needed because God was right there with them the whole time. But then when sin happened, we know that it separated, and then now there had to be a rapport, as this talks about, between an object of worship through deliberate communication. So we know as the bride of Jesus Christ, we know who we're praying to. Amen? And as we were covering the other day, and we talked about a little bit in a Bible study last night, about the prayer of a bob-haired woman cannot be heard from God except for her salvation. Now that's hard to understand, but it's in the Bible. The Bible says she dishonoreth her head if she prays with her head uncovered, which would not be a hat on. That would mean that she would be cutting her hair. Now see, that wasn't that, so you say, well, where was brother, that wasn't Brother Branham's idea. It came from the Bible. Okay? I don't know where people get off that they won't listen to the prophet of God in the end time. He's just quoting you the Bible. Everybody's like, get back to the Bible, get like Brother Daniel was talking about. And I've heard him. We got to get back to the Bible. We never left the Bible. The true bride never left the Bible. It became more clear when the prophet came on the scene that now I'm not praying to a second person of a Trinity. I'm praying to my Father. I'm praying to God Almighty. I'm not praying through somebody who's praying through somebody. And you know what? The Bible even tells us that Jesus Christ is our mediator. But remember, he's not a second person. He's Almighty God. If you walk into the courtroom of God Almighty, you see Jesus. And then if you look over and see the prosecuting attorney, that's the devil. But you see the person that's for your defense, that's Jesus. And you look over there witness stand, and you look over there in the jury box, and there sits Jesus. So you can't lose, folks. So that's who we pray to. We don't pray to another deity or another deified person, like even the Catholic tells us, you know, we need to pray to this certain saint because he walked 25 miles a day, and we need to pray to that saint when we travel. There's no such. Brother Brown said that was spiritualism. So we know that's not what we're doing. As the bride of Jesus Christ, we can go to God, you women, sisters that don't cut your hair, you can go to God for anything you ask for. Just as good as the men. Just as good as the men. Your prayer is heard. There's no gender prayer. Everybody get into all this gender stuff this day and time. We are the only people that know who we are. Who we come, where we come from, and what we're doing here. But let's go to Genesis the first time. Now, look, in Genesis 13, verse 8, just for some of the ones that haven't been here, it says, Abram said unto Lot, there be no strife, I pray thee. Now, that's not a prayer. That's a statement. That's a statement that says, please, or used in entreaty or exhortation. So, in other words, I pray that y'all made it to church today, or we actually did pray, but it's a statement. But the first real prayer, we look in Genesis 20, verse 7, and it's a prayer that got a man out of trouble. This is Abraham praying for Abimelech that God wouldn't destroy his country. Right? Now, therefore, restore the man his wife. Remember, we would think Abraham would be in the wrong because he's the one that gave his wife away. But God said, you've got to go listen to my prophet, and he's got to pray a prayer for you to Jehovah to restore back, because look, surely thou shalt die. That's the first prayer in the Bible that Abraham was praying to God to entreat, or I mean, not to entreat, but to ask forgiveness from this fellow over here. So that is to intercede or to pray. When we do this, when we pray, we are intervening. Remember the prophet of God, and we'll read it a little bit later on. The prophet of God tells us that that's the most powerful thing. You can't go, we couldn't go to Zach Black 2 years ago and say, Zach, you gotta be saved, you gotta be saved. Well, it just was like, okay, that's fine. Cause it happened to me. But the prayer that you had in your closet, the prayer that Bob got on his knees and Sister Monica and all the different ones were praying for him, we were interceding for him. Amen? To Jesus Christ to save his soul, because we can't save him. That's why there had to be prayer, because here's Adam and here's God. And when Genesis 3:15, he said, I'll put enmity or division. In other words, I can't speak like I want to speak to you anymore. But you can pray. There's a thing called prayer. Look in Genesis 20 verse 17. This is, so Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech, his wife and maidservant, and they bare children. So Abraham prayed to God for this king that was getting ready to make a mistake. Then also Numbers 11 verse 2, the people cried unto Moses. When Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. So here is Moses. Now look, you see in the Old Testament, there is a lot of prayer of intercession because there was not a, and don't get me wrong, there was not a Jesus Christ that they knew. They didn't know Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. He hadn't developed into that yet. He was Jehovah. He was this God you couldn't touch. He was this God that you had to go into this building. You had to go behind this veil. You had to go do this. You had to do this. You had to do the Ten Commandments. You had to put this on right. And you had to be, you know, you had to have the oil on your head. And you had all these do's and don'ts to meet God. But now when we get into the New Testament, we're going to tell you what Jesus told us, how he told us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. He told us how to pray. Why? Because the intercessor was standing right there in front of them. Right. Telling them that you pray what? I'll send the comforter in my name or in the Father's name. And you pray not to me that I'll pray to the Father. No. I thought we looked in Matthew, and we're skipping over real quick to get over there. Matthew, it says that Jesus prayed for us. To me, that's the real Lord's Prayer for the bride in John 17 when he said, Lord, I pray that they may be one, me and them be one as you and I are one. Well, now, were they separate people? No, they were the same. That's our problem. We think we're inferior to God, or we are some second person. That's our problem. That's why we've been here. It's not because of anything else. It's just we don't realize who we are. That we're not a second person. Listen, if you're like God, you're the devil. If you're a second person from God, you're the devil. Brother Bram said there's only two people you got to worry about, God and the devil. Amen? So, you know, you're either one of the two. You're not an in-between. In other words, the bride is not another person separate from God. We got to realize that, folks. Because that's what he said there in John when he was interceding. Let's turn straight to that if you don't mind. We'll get over to John 17:9. Everybody wants to know what this great, this end time has in store for us. You'll have to head on over there pretty good ways there, brother. John 17:9. Just keep going. You good. It says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And then he continues on with thine are mine and mine are thine, and that they may be what? The same. Right. I pray not for the world. See, we shouldn't pray for the world. What are you going to pray for? Something that's already condemned. Right. You can't pray for something. Sure, you can pray for your family and your friends and the people around you and your job and all these different things, but forget about praying for who's in the office. Right. Amen? Why? It's already condemned. It can't get any better. It can only get worse. So in John 17, that whole chapter there, Jesus is praying for the bride. He's praying for me and you. He's praying. He didn't say, Lord, take them out of this world. No, what'd he say? Lord, they're going to stay in this world. But you protect them. Now, what is our protection? Jesus Christ is our protection because we pray to Him. We know who to pray to, not to a second person of a Trinity. Matthew 21, verse 22. Do not go there, but it says, whatever things you ask in prayer, believe you shall receive it.
Right.
Believe you shall receive it.
Yep. Yep.
Amen? And then the Bible tells us when we stand praying, forgive. Have you ever done that before? Oh, it's real easy to pray for somebody you like. But what about praying for somebody that almost run you off the road, or pray for somebody that's despitefully using you at work, or first one thing and another? That's why I said the brotherly kindness is way up there. It's easy to love people that love you. But what about love people that hate you and literally pray for them that they'll do good? Pray for them that they'll do good. Oh no, Lord. No, Lord, I can't do that. They've been mean to me. Pitiful you. You need to go up that statue of perfect man, or you need to get the new birth first.
Yeah. Right.
Amen?
Amen?
That's what I told him over at Brother Pageant's. I said, look, there's a lot of things that we're teaching now, not just us, and I'm talking about the bride in general, that if you don't have the new birth, you're not going to understand it.
Right.
You're just not going to understand it.
Right.
I'm sorry. But if you'll get the new birth, God promised He'd do these things for you, but He didn't promise you to do them for you if you just sit there in la-la land or in sanctification or justification. He said He would, what? He would feed His children, not rocks, not scorpions. He said He would feed them bread. He would sustain them through life. Our problem is a lot of people that are not born again. They think they are. But see, that's the age. Brother Russ was... We were conversing this morning by text, and that was his whole thing. He says, I almost cry when you look at people that are so caught up in the world. Not world, but I mean caught up in denomination, that they think that's right, and they're praying straight to the devil. Because God's not in that, folks. Now, He'll save a hungry soul, but if that hungry soul gets a new birth, He won't stay in that denomination, I'll promise you that. He won't question the prophet, I'll promise you that. You might have questions, but if you question the prophet, you ain't born again.
Right. Amen. That's right.
Amen. If we start right there, maybe we'll be all right.
Right.
Just the way it is. We'll talk about that this afternoon. Because listen, God sent us a messenger. And if William Branham is not that messenger, then you know what? If I miss it, and I'll go before the judgment, because if I miss it, I will go before the judgment, I'm going to go to Malachi 4 and say, look, you promised you'd send me Elijah and you turned my heart back. Where was he and where is he? You know what he's going to say to them people? I sent you William Branham.
Right. Amen. Right.
Wow.
Right. Exactly right.
Sorry, that's just the way it is. Look in Acts 1 verse 14. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. I want to ask you a question this morning. How many of you have started praying for our meeting in July? The success of that meeting will come from your prayer. Brother Brown said the success of his meeting was two women in a closet praying that the meeting would go well. Wow, two women? Yeah, they were Holy Ghost filled women, I'm sure, because God heard their prayer. Amen? So you start praying for this thing coming up that we'll all do the right thing, it'll all be done in order, and that people will have a good time. Look in Acts 4 verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spake the word of God with boldness. Let's go to Romans 8 verse 26. And likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. How many of you have had an unction to pray for somebody? How many of you have got up at night and a name come upon you, your heart, and you just start praying for them, and then knowing later on that person was going through a trial at that very moment? Why? It was God wanted you to pray. God wanted you to pray for them. They need a prayer. You know, you've heard Dad many times, and I tell you, when I used to have migraine headaches, I couldn't pray. If you ever had a real good migraine, you don't do nothing but try to survive. You get in the coldest room you can find, put something on your eyes, and tell everybody to leave you alone. But I'm depending on somebody to pray for me. That's why we have the prayer list. That's why we have the wall downstairs with the people on. That's why Brother Terrence reads these prayer requests every Sunday, because it gives you something to pray about.
Right.
Gives you something to pray for. Somebody, some brother, even somebody you don't even know. You know, if the Philippines come on your heart, just start praying. You don't have to call. Listen, Jesus told us right here somewhere. He said, don't be in these long prayers. I read it to you a while back. He said, don't be like the Pharisees. He said, you don't have to pray for everything. Pray for what you specifically need to. But, it's Matthew 6, verse 5. When thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when you shut the door, pray to thy Father in secret. That's when you have time alone with God. That's your prayer life. You say, well, I even met a lady yesterday at the yard sale, benefit yard sale that we were doing for that lady that got hit by a drunk driver. But we got to talking about that. She said, oh yeah, I pray without ceasing. She said, I pray now. I'm praying now. Something come on her heart. She just says, Lord, just be with this person. And she was a nominal Christian lady. But that's what you should do. But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth thee in secret shall reward thee openly. See, the two ladies didn't stand up in the meeting and start praying that the whole meeting would know them two women are the ones that made that success of that meeting. No, they prayed in the closet. But it got the attention of God that he had a prophet on the scene that discerned what was going on and come out and told the people then afterwards the success of this meeting was because of those two ladies going into their closet and praying. So don't worry, your prayer's never going to be unheard. Never. It'll never go unheard. Even what the smallest thing that you need. So here we go right here in 1 Corinthians. Let's read this. And every man praying or prophesying having his head covered dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered dishonoreth her head. For that is even all one as if she were shaven. That's where Brother Branham got the quote. Right there. She dishonoreth her head. 1 Corinthians 11:13, judge in yourselves, is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16, says, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. You say, Brother Wade, how you do that? Listen, you don't have to close your eyes to pray. The Bible says Jesus lifted up his eyes toward heaven and started talking to somebody.
Amen.
Amen. So you don't have to. And it is honorable to close your eyes when you pray. It is honorable to do that. But listen, when you're going down the road and somebody comes on your heart, don't close your eyes. You just might have a wreck. But you give honor to God and say, God, I'm doing this because you put it on my heart and I'm praying while I'm driving down the road. Amen. Pray without ceasing in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus, what? Concerning you. 1 Timothy 4, verse 4, for every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Everybody got that? James 5, verse 14, listen to this. Any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he had committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now listen to this in Revelations. I'll get a couple quotes here and then we'll be done. Revelations 5 verse 8. Watch what it says here. And when he had taken the book, and the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials, watch, full of odors. In other words, your prayer is never done away with. It's banked up somewhere. I'm reading Bible. Golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Every prayer you pray continues on and continues on and continues on. Has everybody got that? Amen. Revelation 5 verse 8, man, when he took the book, what? He took the book in Revelation 5 and the golden vials full of odors, then there was something there that there was a prayer of a saint that got you in this building. There was a prayer of a saint that got you saved.
Right.
Now, they didn't save you, but that effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Let's look at this, Brother Brown. Let's read these few quotes, and then we'll close right here. Brother Brown said, "Oh, Father, I pray as your servant. We realize that prayer changes things. Prayer changes a sinner to a Christian. Prayer changes a sick man into a well man. And I ask in joining prayer with this man that you heal his body. May he go off this platform happy, rejoicing in Jesus' name. Be well. Amen." Number 50, the next one, 1953. Now look what prayer does. Prayer changed from death to life, and God said the man is going to die. I believe Isaiah told the truth. He was born a prophet. His words were true and came from God. Then Hezekiah prayer changed the opinion of God. Now I want to stop right here. Now listen, hold on a minute. This same prophet preached a message. Does God change his mind about his word? He does not. God cannot change his mind. He knew this was going to happen by foreknowledge. Therefore, he didn't change his mind. But there had to be something to teach us a lesson that prayer does change you from a sinner to a saint. It does change you from an unhealed person to a healed person. Somebody that you're praying for over here that needs prayer. It does change things, but it never changes the eternal mind of God. You can't change eternity. Amen? Everybody got that? All right, so now let's read it. Oh, I like that. Prayer changes things. It's the most powerful force that God ever put in the hands of man is a sincere prayer offered to God. Jesus said, whatever you ask the Father in my name, that I'll do. Believe it. Try it once and see if it isn't true. 1961, expectation. What man calls great, God calls foolish. What man calls foolish, God calls great. So what we've got to do is get back into the program of God and find out, after all, what God wants us to do. And the only way I know is to do it is prayer. Prayer is the key. That's the answer. Prayer changes things. Prayer is the most powerful weapon that was ever put in the control of human beings. There's no atomic bomb, no hydrogen bomb as powerful as prayer. Magician, get ready to come. Prayer will change the mind of God. Now watch, be careful now. It did as we see it here, but it never changed the mind of God. He knew what was going to happen. Okay? Everybody okay with that? Because you can't make God change his mind, and he can't change his mind. Because
right.
Listen, as we're talking about the eternal plan of redemption, anything eternal cannot be changed.
Right.
You can't change the eternal plan of God. Listen, try to go out there, like Brother Brown said, go out there tonight and pray until dawn this morning that the sun won't come up. But God told us the sun was going to come up in the Bible. But now he did make provision one day that a man without the Holy Ghost, Joshua, said, God, I need a few more hours. And he had the sun stand still. He didn't do away with it. He said it just stood still for 20-something hours so he could finish his battle. So God didn't change his mind. He knew Joshua was going to ask for that.
Right.
So by foreknowledge, God can't change his mind.
Amen.
All right? But he did change the mind as we see it. Because he knew Hezekiah was going to pray. But now remember, when Hezekiah prayed for 15 more years, look what he turned out to be. He should have went on when God took him, said he was going to die the first time. Because you go into the perfect will of God to the permissive will of God, you're walking on dangerous territory. Amen. Perfect will of God is the perfect will of God. Permissive will of God, you can go wrong just like Hezekiah did. Let's read this one last quote. Prayer isn't a ritual that depends on closing our eyes and putting on holy faces. The very last one. I want everybody to read this. Pull it up. Musicians, come on. Prayer isn't a ritual that depends on closing your eyes and putting on holy faces. We don't have to kneel or sit. We can pray while walking, driving, or working. God responds to a two-word cry for help in the middle of a busy afternoon, just like he does to a focused prayer time after reading scripture in the morning. Prayer doesn't have to be complicated. God delights in any simple word we offer him. Like I said before, you're not going to pray the sun to go down or say it the way you want it because God's already set it in motion. Amen? So let's stand to our feet and Brother Joe, come, or we're going to play a few moments of music. just to rest for a minute, and then you can sit back down if you want to. Some of you are already falling asleep. I'm going to have a hard time this afternoon.
Y'all need sleep at night.